This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The holidays are behind us, which in New England means we're staring down the barrel of several uninterrupted cold, dark, and snowy months. Perfect weather for curling up at home with a good book, television show, or video game.
Do you read me, technician?
I hear you, control.
Visuals on the site?
Yep, looks good.
That's just a clip from a trailer from Tacoma, which is one of the games that video game fans are looking forward to, especially the expert that we're chatting with to learn about what's on the horizon for 2017's most anticipated video games. Chris Sullentrop is contributing video game critic for the New York Times. He's also host of the podcast Shall We Play a Game? And Chris, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Well, the item at the top of your list is not a game, but a console. Now, news of this, the Nintendo Switch was announced in the fall, but out in 2017. What is it going to be?
Yes. What we know about the Nintendo Switch is a three-minute YouTube video that Nintendo released. But it is, they will announce it in January in New York, or officially unveil it and let us actually get our hands on it. And then it'll scheduled for release in March. And it is designed to be a console that is both a handheld portable device of the kind that Nintendo has been very successful at making since the Game Boy up through the current generation of consoles that are called the DS, and that you can also hook up to your TV, and that the same game that plays on your television will also play in your hands. And it has other interesting aspects like these controllers that you can slide off the sides and then play with each other, but nobody's seen it. But it's interesting because, of course, Nintendo for 30 years has been inventing and reinventing video games from the original Nintendo Entertainment System to the Wii. And its most recent console, the Wii U, was kind of a dud. They tried to introduce tablet gaming into console video game. It had this big screen that was also a controller. It has some really excellent games for it, but it didn't sell. And so there's a lot of expectations, but also burden on the company. But they've really preferred to make their own hardware and tightly bind their games to the hardware they make. And so there's going to be a new Xbox in 2017 as well, but the Nintendo Switch, I think, is the most interesting and risky bet of the two consoles that'll be coming out.
So that's some big news in the console business, but one of the games you are excited about is called Tacoma. We heard just a smidgen from the top. It's a new game from the independent video game studio Fulbright, which is described by them by a story exploration video game. So what does that mean?
Yes, Fulbright is a small studio based in Portland, Oregon, co-founded by a guy named Steve Gaynor, who worked on notable big-budget video games like Bioshock Infinite, among others, and set out with some of his peers to start an independent studio, and they made a game called Gone Home. Gone Home, which is a wonderful video game, but is controversial among some video game players because it doesn't have a lot of quote-unquote traditional gameplay. Hmm. There's nothing to collect. There's no, you know, fighting or shooting or jumping. It's a story of, you sort of uncover the story of two girls as you explore an empty house in the Pacific Northwest. Tacoma, perhaps more traditionally for video games, will be set in the future on a space station, but it's still going to have that sort of archaeological exploration of story. It'll have the first-person perspective that gamers are familiar with from shooters and other games. But this is a studio that's heavily influenced by interactive theater, by the British theater company Punch Drunk, which makes the play Sleep No More. If anyone's seen that, it's in New York. It's a huge warehouse, and you sort of follow the actors through a space, but you can stop and just, as you can in a video game, you can just stop and explore a desk if you want to instead of following the story. And this, what Tacoma is going to introduce, according to Steve and his colleagues, are these sort of holographic scenes in which you play them and the characters spin off into different directions, and you sort of have, much like you would in Sleep No More, have to decide who to follow. But then you could play it again. I don't mean play the game again, but play the scene again and sort of look at it from a different perspective. This is a terrific studio. This game was scheduled to come out this year. They pushed it back to 2017, and I'm very excited about it.
So that's the game Tacoma from the video game studio Fulbright. Now, this is an indie game developed by an indie studio, so you don't buy a console for this, obviously. You can just play it on a PC or a Mac?
Yes, whether I assume it'll be available on Mac, but you really never know. It'll definitely be playable on PC. And these games, if they're successful, do eventually come to console. Gone Home was a PC game originally that came to Xbox and PlayStation within the past year or so, a couple years after it came out. But this game might be going onto the consoles directly. In fact, it almost certainly is, but which one, I can't tell you off the top of my head. But so E3 is the big trade show where they announce mostly blockbuster video games, but both Sony and Microsoft, much like film studios, have gotten into the game of releasing these sort of announcing sort of prestige titles as well. Fulbright, Steve Gaynor, did announce parts of Tacoma or show parts of Tacoma at an E3 show. So I suspect it'll be on one, if not both, consoles as well this year.
Well, another game that you are looking forward to, this one's coming out for PlayStation 4, but also focuses on a kind of mysterious narrative. The name is What Remains of Edith Finch. Let's hear just a clip from that.
There are a lot of stories people tell about the Finch family. Most of them end strangely. Some of them don't even seem possible. And they can't all be true, obviously.
Tell us about this game, Chris.
Yeah, What Remains of Edith Finch was my favorite demo that I played at E3 a couple years ago. And it hasn't come out yet, but it'll come out soon. It's from a small studio called Giant Sparrow, headed by a guy named Ian Dallas. They produced a game called The Unfinished Swan a few years ago, which was sort of a fairy tale type story, but it had a really interesting game mechanic, which is that the world was completely blank, and then you would throw these sort of globs of paint onto the white screen that you were occupying, and that would sort of expose the world you were seeing as you found your way through it. What Remains of Edith Finch is the story of a family, the Finches, all of whom have died in mysterious ways, and you play as different members of this family over different time in this creepy old house. And the segment I played, you were a young girl who then goes through a series of very evocative dream sequences. I was an owl and then a shark or some other kind of water creature, and it's beautiful. And it's strange, and it's expected to be the first title from Annapurna Interactive, which is a new branch of Annapurna Pictures, the movie studio that released movies like Her and Zero Dark Thirty, and many sort of prestige movie studios. And there hasn't been that kind of label in video games. There's a small one called Devolver Digital that does indie games, but there hasn't been a video game label that really just exclusively develops and publishes independent sort of prestige video game titles. Annapurna Interactive is trying to come in and sort of fill a void in the market for helping these indie games, which have become more and more popular. Many of them sell millions of copies, or at least a million copies, which, you know, for a record, for a, you know, like a music record, would be unbelievable. But because big video game studios can put out games that sell 30 and 40 and 50 million copies, I think they don't get as excited about a million, unfortunately.
Wow, that's just, the scale is unbelievable. We're getting a little bit of a preview of some most anticipated video games from Chris Sullentrop, who writes about video games for the New York Times, among others. He's also host of the podcast Shall We Play a Game? You mentioned games and independent game designers working with movie studios. These games are just beautiful, and I urge listeners to go to our website, wordofmouthradio.org, where you can look at some of the trailers for these games and see what they're like. Deeply visual. But I'm interested in that, in the Edith Finch game, a female protagonist, so to speak. Are there more games that seem to be coming out with female protagonists?
There are more. It's a hotly contested and sometimes disputatious conversation among developers, designers, and players about representation in video games. But of course, there have always been female protagonists. Certainly Lara Croft from Tomb Raider is one of the most famous video game characters ever. But the default has been men for a very long time. And but there are certainly more, and there are lots of women players. And so some designers and developers are starting to respond to that audience. But also, you know, games allow men to play as women and to sort of find different perspectives. And so you don't, some people really want to play as themselves. This is an interesting split among video game players. There's a certain kind of game, of which neither of these that we've talked about are, that give you a character creation screen at the start, and you can sort of create your own face, pick your sex, pick your race. In a fantasy game, maybe pick your species. And some players want to create sort of an idealized version of themselves, right? Like the best possible or slightly better version of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger, prettier.
More muscular.
Thinner. And some players want to play as someone totally different than them. Maybe someone who's of a different race or a different gender or a different species. And just depends what kind of player you are.
So there are, of course, a variety of games. There's another one you're looking forward to, Red Dead Redemption 2. That sounds like a more traditional video game. This is developed by the creators of Grand Theft Auto, and it's a multiplayer online game. Why are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of representation issues, there was some grumbling on Twitter that the trailer for this game showed seven men.
It looks like a Western, a traditional Western.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, the trailer looks very much like the photo for The Magnificent Seven or something like that. Red Dead Redemption, the original game, is, in my opinion, one of the very best video games ever made. It's made by Rockstar Studios, which is the studio behind Grand Theft Auto, among other games. And it is a big open-world Western that is heavily influenced by the classic Western films of Sergio Leone and people like that. And you play as a guy named John Marston who, you know, it's sort of in the, it's set, I don't know about the sequel because they've told us next to nothing about it, but the first one is set during almost the decline of the West. The trains are coming, mechanical things are coming, and John Marston is, you know, finding his way through in that world, and it's totally beautiful in the way that Rockstar games, all of them are. It's violent and immersive, but it's also well written and funny and cinematic. And this is a game that they announced last year. I would be very, by which I mean 2016. It's 2017 now, right? And it's expected to come out in the fall. I would be very surprised if this is not the best-selling game of 2017.
Well, one that's also eagerly anticipated, Star Trek Bridge Crew. This is not just a multiplayer experience, but actually one of those virtual reality experiences. So tell us about this game and what you're expecting here.
Yeah, so virtual reality, you know, came to consumers for the first time last year in 2016. We had the release of the Oculus Rift. We had the release of the HTC Vive, a competitor of the Rift. Sony released PlayStation VR. I own all of them because I'm a freak. but they're extremely interesting. You feel like you've teleported and transported to another world. It's definitely early technology. It's a little finicky. It breaks sometimes. It feels a little bit like the early stages of PC gaming when you have to get under the hood a little bit and tinker with it to make it work sometimes. But one of the things about this feeling of isolation, because you've put on this headset, you've closed yourself off entirely from the world around you, you feel like you're in another world. Once I reach down to pick something up in the game world and my hand hit my couch, and I was like, wait, where am I? What's going on? But so because of that, you sometimes feel a little lonely. You feel maybe like the guy in the famous Twilight Zone episode who's super happy because the apocalypse has come and he can read all his books, but then his glasses broke. And sometimes you have that feeling in VR. And so Star Trek Bridge Crew is a multiplayer game. It's a social game in which everyone gets to play one of the characters in Star Trek as you would on the Enterprise, the captain in whether you're Kirk or, I'm dating myself talking about Kirk, whatever, but the captain or the science officer or communications, and you work together to get through some sort of, crisis for the Enterprise. And there's something really magical in virtual reality about looking at another virtual character and seeing them in your space and feeling like you're present together. That's something that games have brought us for a very long time, but there's something different about being in a game, and I like these games, but being in a game in which you run around and shoot each other, you don't feel quite as present socially as you do in a game like Bridge Crew.
Chris, thank you for the preview.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
Chris Sullentrup, he's contributing video game critic for the New York Times. He's also host of the podcast Shall We Play a Game? You'll find a link to his list of 2017 video game recommendations, along with trailers for those games, really worth looking at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.